First John chapter 1, we're reading from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, or our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. These are the words I want to leave with you in the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The subject tonight is wash in the blood. As we read the word of God, we discover that from Genesis to Revelation, there is great emphasis upon the blood. Right there in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, mention is made of the bruising of the head of the serpent. And of course, in this, the first gospel promise, it speaks to us of the work of the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and finished the work of our redemption, bruising the head of the serpent, Satan. Then you have the sacrifice that had to be made, the blood that had to be shed in Genesis chapter 3, in order to provide the coats of skins, a covering for Adam and Eve. Then you have in Genesis 4, the blood of Abel's sacrifice, which was accepted to God, the blood of the Lamb. Genesis chapter 22, you have the offering of the Lamb instead of Isaac. And again the blood had to be shed. Exodus 12, the Lamb had to be slain. The blood had to be shed and sprinkled upon the houses where the Israelites lived, in order to save them from the angel of death. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And so we think about the life-giving power of the blood of the Lamb. Of course, all these types in the Old Testament point to the cross. They point to the death and the blood shedding of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Many texts there are that refer to the cross work of Calvary, to that precious blood that he shed, in order to purchase eternal redemption for his people. And we are drawn to focus upon the work of the Savior. That work that he did on Calvary's center cross to purchase our salvation. It causes us to be reminded of the fact that it is only through the blood that the sinner can be cleansed from sin and made ready for heaven. There is no other way of salvation. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The hymn writer again penned those words. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. The Bible indicates to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verses 13 and 14 these words. That the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. And so the Word of God emphasizes to us the importance of the blood. The Word of God instructs us about the blood. It brings before us that impact and impression upon the individual that the blood can have. It's brought before us in our text tonight. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wash in that blood tonight and be clean from every sin. Be purified from all iniquity. I want you to notice, first of all, the person here. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. We are brought to focus upon the one whose blood it is. It is the blood of Christ. It is the blood of the Son of God. It is the blood of God. For Jesus Christ is God. In the Old Testament, we are told about the blood of bulls and of goats. We are told there about the blood of animals. The blood of lambs slain in the sacrifices made. But they point to the greatest of all sacrifices. The sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God on Calvary. As Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. And John is not talking about the blood of Jesus Christ in his veins here. For there is no salvation in the blood of Christ when that blood remained in his veins. There is no salvation, no heaven for any person in the perfect life of Christ. When I see the perfect life that Jesus lived, and he lived a perfect life, it only condemns us. It only shows us our sin. It shows me the hopelessness of trying to get to heaven by emulating the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says concerning this blood in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the verse 28, it says this, the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood, the blood of God, the source of the blood. And then we have the shedding of the blood. The blood shed for many for the remission of sins. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out on the cross of Calvary, the blood that was shed makes it possible for poor, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I, to go to heaven. Some people make fun of the blood of Christ. And they say, don't give me that slaughterhouse religion. Don't talk to me about blood. And yet if you were gravely ill, the doctor would talk to you about blood or talk to your family about blood to give you a blood transfusion in order to save your life. It could well be a matter of life and death. It is a matter so urgent for you, my friend, that Christ shed his blood on Calvary to save your soul from hell. The Bible says we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. His blood was not spilt on Calvary. It was shed. You see, my friend, it was no accident that Jesus died. The Bible tells us clearly that he laid down his life. That he gave his life a ransom for many. He died and shed his precious blood that we might live. It was in the plan and purpose of God from all eternity that the Lord Jesus Christ would leave the glories of heaven and come down to this sin-cursed scene and shed his blood for sinners to redeem them from all iniquity. The shedding of his blood. But I want you to see also the sacrifice he made in doing this. For my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the altar of Calvary. Voluntarily he did it. The Bible says this, who his own self bore our sins on his own body on the tree. Paul said this, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And the blood, my friends, that flowed from the wounds of Christ on the cross to deal with the sin question, it was to deal with the sin question in our hearts and lives. Thank God for that supreme sacrifice. Thank God for the finished work of Calvary. And we say tonight, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love or sorrow meet or thorns compose? So rich a cry. The person. The blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know this person tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's the most important thing of all. I buried a lady this afternoon. And just 3 months ago, as she realized that cancer was taking into her, coming into her body with great rapidity, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and she was saved. And 300 people gathered at her funeral today. And we had the opportunity of telling her testimony and saying how Christ had saved that dear woman. And the same Lord Jesus Christ who saved that woman can save you tonight in this meeting. I want you to see, secondly, the power. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is cleansing and healing for all who will wash in that life-giving flood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. And again, the hymn writer said, the cleansing stream, I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. To cleanse us, as verse 9 says, from all unrighteousness. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. John did not just say the blood cleansed, past tense. But the blood cleanseth, present tense. Present tense means that the blood keeps on cleansing. An initial cleansing of our sins took place on the cross. Revelation 1:5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In one great redemptive act at the cross of Calvary, Christ washed us for time and for eternity. He washed us forever. It need not be repeated. However, this passage in 1 John speaks of a continual cleansing. The blood of Christ, you see, has eternal efficacy. It will never lose its power. It will always cleanse from sin. Often when you become a Christian and get close to the light, you begin to see the dark spots in your life as you've never seen them before. I remember my father-in-law once time he went and he got the cataract of his eyes. And he came out of the hospital. And he said to me, "Boy's a dear. I've never seen things like that before. The cataract removed and he could see as he never saw before." And you know, my friend, when we're saved, that happens. The Lord causes us to see as we've never seen before. When you step out of the darkness into the light, you see yourself as you are. And perhaps for the first time you begin to see the depths of your sin. You begin to see how foul and how shameful your sins actually are. And when Satan brings those sins up before you, isn't it glorious to know that the blood avails, that the blood cleanses even from that sin, whatever it is. Charles Finney was preaching in Detroit. And after the service one night, a man said to him, "I want you to come home with me, Mr. Finney." And someone knew the man said to Mr. Finney, "Don't go." But he went. And when they got to the man's house, they walked into the room and he locked the door and he pulled a revolver out of his pocket. He said, "Don't be afraid, Mr. Finney. I'm not going to shoot you. I heard you preach tonight about how the Lord Jesus Christ can save men." He says, "This revolver has killed 4 men. Is there any hope for a man like that?" And Charles Finney said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And the man answered, "You don't understand, Mr. Finney. Down below this apartment where you're sitting tonight, there's a saloon. And I have helped send men on the road to hell. I have helped break homes and rob children of food and drink. Is there any hope for a man who's done that?" And Charles Finney replied, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin." And the man continued, "I've been a gambler all my life. I've spent my life taking money from people illegally. Is there any hope for a man like that?" And Charles Finney said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin." And the man persisted. He said, "Across the street there is my wife. I have abused that little girl there. My little daughter, she's disfigured. One night I came home from drinking and gambling in a drunken stupor, and the child ran to put her arms around me, and I pushed her away from me, and she had a heater, and her face was terribly disfigured. Is there any hope for a man like that?" And Charles Finney said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin." And soon after Mr. Finney left, the next morning the man stumbled across the street. He hadn't slept, he had prayed all night, and when he got up into the house, he stumbled to his room. In a little while, his wife said to the little girl, "Tell your daddy, it's time for breakfast." And she went upstairs and said, "Mama says it's time for breakfast." And the man said, "Maggie, darling, I don't want any breakfast this morning." And she ran downstairs to her mama and she said, "Mama, daddy said he didn't want any breakfast and he called me darling." The mother said, "You must have made a mistake. You heard him wrong. Go back up and tell him again." In a moment, the man came down, took his wife in his arms, his little girl on his knee, and he said, "Oh, wife," as he wept, "I have sinned. I have abused you. I have abused my daughter. But last night I heard the preacher preach. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard about the blood that could cleanse me from all sin. And I got saved." And he said, "Wife, you've got a new husband." He said, "Daughter, you've got a new daddy." And they had. Because that man was transformed by the grace of God. And the blood of Christ that cleansed him from all sin. And you may have come in here tonight and your heart may be foul and filthy with sin, but thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And you can receive tonight and you can go out from this meeting cleansed from every sin through the precious blood of Christ. There's one more thing and I'm finished. And it is this, the purpose. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Every sin had to go beneath the cleansing flow. You read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 to 11 and you'll discover the foulest of sins. The most heinous and hideous of sins that are mentioned. And Paul goes on and he says this. He says, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of our God and by the Spirit of the Lord. You're washed. And David was made clean from the sins of murder and adultery. Remember that in Psalm 51. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well was delivered from her adulterous life. In John chapter 8, the woman taken in adultery. In Luke chapter 7, the woman who was a sinner. In Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus, the dishonest man. The Lord said, this day has salvation come to thy house. The prodigal son in Luke 15, he was received by the father upon confession of his sin, and he was restored to the father's house, and he was given all that he required. All his sins were dealt with. What is that sin that you have committed tonight? What is that sin or those sins that are taking you to hell tonight? With every step you take, with every breath you breathe, they're bringing you nearer to a Christless and undone eternity. And you're just tonight a heartbeat away from hell. But thank God tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You can be cleansed from all sin. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Think of the thief on the cross. He was cleansed from all sin. Even in the last moments of his life on this earth, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he was cleansed from all sin. You may have broken the Sabbath. You may have dishonored your parents. You may have stolen and coveted. You may have borne false witness. You may have committed the most terrible sins. But the Lord can cleanse all those sins away tonight. Your sins may be as dark as hell, yet the blood can cleanse away such sins. There's nothing too hard for the Lord tonight. There's nothing He cannot do. You brought shame upon yourself and upon your family and upon your friends with your wickedness. But the Lord can cleanse all those sins away. With God, nothing is impossible. But you know there's a sin in your heart tonight. It's the awful sin of unbelief. And how many of you have failed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, one of the top sins that's mentioned there in Revelation 21 and 8, it says the fearful and unbelieving. And I think there are 8 categories that are mentioned that will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. But the second is the unbelieving. My friend, if there's one thing that takes people to hell more than any other, it's unbelief. And tonight you're in this meeting unbelieving. And the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The sin of unbelief is taking you to hell tonight. As fast as time and your feet can take you. Then there's the sin of Christ's rejection. How many times have you rejected the gospel? Again and again you've done it. Sunday after Sunday, week after week, you've done it. Month after month, year after year, you've trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. The Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And yet the blood can cleanse from even this sin, the sin of Christ's rejection. You can be cleansed from all these sins right now tonight in this meeting. You know, on one occasion a soap manufacturer was an unbeliever. He walked along the road with a preacher of the gospel. And the soap manufacturer said, the gospel you preach hasn't done much good, for there's still a lot of wickedness in this world. A lot of wicked people too. The preacher made no reply until they passed a dirty little child that was making mud pies in the gutter in the street. And seizing his opportunity, he said, soap hasn't done much good in the world, I see, for there's still dirty little children in the street. Oh well, said the manufacturer, soap is only useful when it's applied. When it's applied. Exactly, said the preacher. So it is with the gospel. And my friend, so it is with the blood of Christ. It's only when you apply that blood tonight that you will be cleansed from all your sin. Let the precious blood be applied this evening.
You'll be made every whit whole. Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin. And be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Will you be washed tonight? In that precious blood. Oh, precious is the flow. That cleanses white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. May that blood be applied to your heart tonight. May you go from this meeting saved by the matchless grace of God. May it be so for Jesus' sake.